How necessary would you say it is for me as a South African artist who might be watching this, or as a band, to actually trademark my stuff? Is this something that you say an artist needs to sort out ASAP? How's it, guys? We are back with another episode of Sludge Underground, and my name is Nasipi, surname is Wane, and I am the host, the founder of the podcast as well. I also play a bit of drums with Thorns of Ivory. Today, I had an opportunity to then invite Beth, who has been a mate of mine for quite some time. We were actually talking before the show started, and we've known each other for like 13 or so years. So it's pretty epic to have her on the show today to just talk about, you know, IP and why you should actually, you know, look at, you know, exploring something like that as an artist. It's very important when it comes to, you know, obviously protecting some of your work. Give me like a background or like an introduction to who you are, how your journey started, you know, in law, and we'll then take it from there.
So I started doing my law degree in 2017. I finished it up end of 2022, and I got an articles job. So with law, you do your candidate attorneyship for 2 years, which is basically an internship. So it's been almost 2 years for me now doing that. And the firm that I do it with is a lot of intellectual property, trademarks, all that sort of stuff. So,
you know, when it comes to intellectual property and trademarks and so on, why would it be necessary for someone who's maybe an artist and is creating music to actually, you know, have an interest in this and sort of, you know, start maybe the process of, you know, protecting, you know, what is theirs legally?
All right. So the main important thing is, so for artists, it's obviously it's the music, it's the musical compositions, and then lyrics are a literary work. So the intellectual property that covers that is copyright. So with copyright, the good thing is the copyright doesn't have to be registered. It subsists automatically as soon as you've actually recorded something. So the key point is obviously to record it. So for a work to be counted as a copyright, it has to be original. You have to put effort into making it. So obviously, if as long as you've originally made your own sound, you've done your own lyrics, then the biggest thing is to record them. So whether that's writing them down, whether that's recording a little sound bite of you doing the music, and the most important thing is to make sure that's dated. So you have to have a date that you've done it, because that will be the date from which the copyright runs.
What about things like, say, for example, a band name like Thorns of Ivory, for example, with us sort of making music? Does copyright sort of cover, you know, when it comes to things like that, or does it only sort of extend to just, you know, the creative work and such?
Yeah, okay, so copyright wouldn't apply to that. However, it would still be intellectual property. So if you're using, for, you said Thorns of Ivory, as your, like, you're using it for advertising, you're using it for things like that, you would get it trademarked.
What's the whole process behind that, and what would sort of, you know, how would I be covered as maybe a band or even a brand when it comes to trademark, yeah?
Yeah, so the process is relatively simple. So you would do it through some sort of a law firm. You can't really register a trademark otherwise. And you generally do a trademark search first. So you just, the law firm will run a search through the trademark office, make sure there's nothing else in, you know, with that name. And then you would register. So as a band and a brand name, you would probably register it under business administration, which is class 35. And the process is lengthy because the trademarks office doesn't have a lot of staff, so it takes about 2 years to get it fully registered. You register through the name, and the trademarks office takes its time, checks it out. Sometimes they'll issue you with a official action. So for example, Thorns of Ivory. Yeah. Thorns and ivory are very like basic words. Yeah. So they would put a disclaimer there that it doesn't mean that somebody else can't use the word thorns or ivory, just they can't use the full thing. And then you'd be protected in that anybody who used your name in anything that relates to business and marketing and stuff like that, they would legally not be allowed to. So you would have a very firm legal ground to oppose them in that.
Say for example, we keep using Thorns of Ivory, so just gonna roll with this. Say for example, now we've been, you know, as a band, we've been making music for like 5 years or something, and we don't have our name, for example, like say our name is not like trademarked, yeah, or anything like that there, and next thing another band, you know, comes out of nowhere and they, you know, trademark the name first before we do. Does that now mean that we would need to change our name? Like, you know, I'm trying to figure out what the trademarking is, sort of like the repercussions are and so forth. Yeah.
So that's actually a really great question because we have that a lot. So with trademarks and with intellectual property, there's generally a, like, whoever has it first generally has more rights to it. So there are common law remedies to do with, like, your name, your business name, that you can use to basically say, we had it first, etc. If they trademark it first, the problem then becomes, it doesn't mean you have to change your name, but it will be harder for you to trademark because you'll have to prove that you were using it first.
What would you have to do to prove, like, what's so sufficient?
Generally, it would be, it's generally things like brands, like, for example, if it's a brand of, like, chips, then it's very easy because you can show this is when it was manufactured, etc. So for you, it would be things like old advertisements for maybe, you know, a show at wherever, and it has your name on it, and it's very clear that it's you, then that would be a good way to...
What are the repercussions of maybe like a process like that when you are protected and someone sort of infringes on that?
There is definitely financial gain. So the process would be for copyright, for trademarks, for any kind of intellectual property, the first step would be you'd get an attorney to send a letter of demand. So that would just be saying you need to stop using it, etc., etc. Depending on how long it's been. So if it's been... like more than a couple months, then you can generally also claim compensation because they will have been deriving profit from using your things, whether it be your name, whether it be your works. And then that's kind of calculated on how much have they made, or how much have they kind of, you can average it, how much do you think they've made, and how much has that made your business lose out? For example, so if people are now looking up Thorns of Ivory, for example, and they're finding the other band instead of you, how much has that made you lose out on? So that would be the compensation. And then obviously letter of demand is the first step, but if people don't listen to a letter of demand, which they often don't, then the next step is a court procedure.
And obviously these things, you know, financially there are implications for that, because I don't suppose it's just a matter of, you know, me coming to you as Beth and I'm like, dude, someone is like stealing this legendary name and I need you to assist me. Obviously that means costs on you know.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to things like that there, I'm not asking specifically what maybe you guys charge, but generally what could an artist be looking at? Because like specifically, I remember when I sort of, you know, trademarked Sledge Underground, there was like a whole, you mentioned something there about like I don't know if you said it was like Section 35 or something, or like something, you know, and it's like there were bits and pieces that like, you know, like each thing was like its own thing that cost had money. To be like, yeah,
that
exactly.
Cost money, yes,
like,
yes, yes, yeah.
My logo, I had to pay like a separate amount for that.
Yes.
The name, I had to pay a separate amount for that. And there's still some other stuff as well. And another thing that I realized as well was that it's like, it sort of expires eventually, and then you have to like renew it after like, I don't know, for me it was about like 10 years or so.
Yeah.
So like, in terms of that whole process of, you know, protecting yourself, you know, in terms of costs overall, financially, how much might someone be ready to fork out, and how much stuff do they have to protect? Like, if we're looking at an artist, so it's sort of like two questions. If you're looking at an artist, my name is Billy Ray or something, and I'm an artist, and that's the band name.
Yeah.
So how much of that would I have to pay for and protect and all of that there? Yeah.
Okay, so firstly, you were very right with the 10 years and every step being a different cost. So obviously as attorneys, the thing that you pay for is the time that it takes for an attorney to do things. So let's take Billy Ray. So for copyright of his works, you don't actually have to register it. So it subsists automatically. As long as you've done those things, it's original, like I said.
Yeah.
So the music, any recordings, things like that, will be copyrighted automatically as soon as they've been published, which is just as soon as they're recorded. And copyright subsists for the whole of your life as an artist, plus 50 or 70 years, depending on what type of works. So if it's a radio broadcast of like a song, that's 50 years. If it's just a recording of a song that's not been broadcast, it's 70 years after death.
Sorry to disturb. What happens after 50 years?
Then the copyright falls away and it's free to use. So for example, if you take like Bach, okay, none of his works are copyright anymore because he's been dead for so long and it's been more than 70 years.
So does that mean that the Bach estate isn't really now benefiting from the works?
Yeah. What? Yeah. So that's unfortunately, that's how copyright works.
So the likes of like Michael Jackson and all these legends that have passed on, like maybe like, I don't know how long he's passed on now, like 2009 or so. Yeah. So maybe in about like 50 years or so, yeah, like it will no longer be benefiting from that.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Which is crazy. But yeah, that's how copyright works.
So literally anyone could even like sample that without any repercussions as well.
Yes. After the time period.
Why? Why is it all like this?
I don't know. That one I can't tell you. But yeah, so that doesn't actually carry any legal costs. Obviously you can copyright, like apply for registration. That means it's a lot easier to find out when the copyright should run from. Okay. However, if you've got it like a date that it was published, it's not so big of a deal. The main people who like register copyright are for like movies. But with trademarks, so trademarks is the whole process of registration, and it does carry costs. So I'm trying to now think without explaining necessarily our firm's fees, because our firm's fees are actually quite low in comparison to bigger firms.
Yeah.
But yeah, so each step carries a cost. So you'd have your trademark search, which can range, I'd say, anywhere from about 2,000 Rand a trademark to maybe 4,000 Rand a trademark for just the search, which you can not do the search, but then you could risk.
What's the
search?
What is it?
Okay, so the search is going onto the system and checking each clause to check if there's a conflict. So if, for example, we're doing the Thorns of Ivory, if there's another band called Ivory Thorns, for example, okay, and they've already registered, you couldn't register Thorns of Ivory. So you do the search just to make sure there isn't anything else. Because if you don't do the search, you just register, then it's not going to go through. You'll have paid all the money and it won't go through. Yeah. So yeah, you do the search, that carries costs. Then if it's clear, you do the trademark registration. Now the trademark registration, you were saying logo and words, which is very true. So most of the time you would register both the logo and the words. That just covers you completely. And trademark registrations, you're looking at anywhere from about 4,500 to maybe 6,000-7,000 around a trademark, depending on what firm you go to. And that's per trademark. So oftentimes if you're doing 2 trademarks, 3 trademarks, 10 trademarks, some people do, then you're going to be looking at obviously lower costs per trademark because it's a big bulk of them. Yeah, and then once that's through, then you have the official action, like I said before, and that carries costs. So that depends on what they're asking on cost. So it could be anywhere from 800 to, again, 3,000-4,000 Rand for the official action, yeah.
How necessary would you say it is for me as a South African artist, you might be watching this, or as a band, to actually trademark my stuff? Looking at it in the context of being a South African musician, you know, looking at maybe if they're any risks, is this something that is worth investing in? Like for me personally as a podcast, I thought, well, you know, if this blows up eventually, I want to sort that out early, right? For a musician, it might be different. So the dynamics, looking at the climate in South Africa, is this something that you say an artist needs to sort out ASAP?
Okay, so that's sort of a tricky question to answer. So I would definitely say making sure your works are copyright protected is important, because the copyright, that's going to be protecting any music you bring out, etc., any lyrics, all of that. The trademark, I would say more only, like you said, if you think it's going to be a thing that like really blows up. Like, I know that's not something you can predict as an artist, whether you're going to blow up or not, but yeah, definitely just if it's something, if you're doing it sort of on the side, maybe not, but if it's something you're very serious about, I do think it's important to maybe trademark at least your band name or your, and that, for example, you don't generally have a logo. I mean, you can, but even just the name itself, I think that would be a thing that would be worth trademarking.
Epic. There is one point that you have in the document that you brought us. So yeah. Can we touch on that a bit before we close out?
Yeah. There's actually something that I'm remembering you said earlier as well, which was the renewing trademarks. Yeah. So trademarks, they last forever as long as you renew them. So every 10 years, you do have to pay a renewal fee and you get your trademark renewed. Renewal fee, about $3,000 per trademark. But then it lasts forever. Every 10 years you renew it, it lasts forever. So the other thing I wanted to touch on was just for artists who are maybe getting a record label, getting their stuff produced through someone else, you will generally have a contract with that person. And it is very important. I know as legal practitioners, we always say it's important to read every contract that you sign. any terms and conditions on websites, which I know we don't always do, but for any kind of record label producing your stuff, anything like that, it's very important, because you could have a situation where you sign a contract, you haven't looked, and generally that master recording is not your copyright material. It's the record labels. So that was why we had that whole Taylor Swift issue, and she's re-recording. It's because generally that's how it goes. So you just want to read it to know, because if you know beforehand and you're fine with it and you're happy, great, because you still own the rights to the original music, the original lyrics, etc. You can do what Taylor Swift did. You can re-record everything. But yeah, that's just an important thing to note.
And obviously some of these terms might be tricky. They might, you know, obviously pertain some legal jargon and stuff. So if anyone is going through any contractual talks at the moment, I assume it might be worthwhile to actually reach out to you. So do let them know, you know, where do we sort of reach out if we need any assistance in terms of any legalities and all that?
I would say to actually speak to our firm. So it's Farzana Manju Attorneys. I can give you all the info.
Write it down so that
because we can definitely lend a hand.
Sweet. Well, Beth, thank you so much for joining me. I've learned so much from you. Despite studying as well, I just, as someone who's practicing as well, it's like all this knowledge is absolutely invaluable. It's amazing. So thank you so much. To anyone who's tuning in, I hope you learned a lot as well. And we will catch you in the next episode. I'll leave all the details that you need to get in touch with Beth and the law firm that she works for. And hopefully you've learned something and you've learned as much as I have. So we'll catch you guys next time. Don't forget to buy some merch on the online store as well. Leave all the links in the description. And until next time, it is bye for now.